And I speak to you in God's holy name, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. So the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. And I'm giving you these commands so that you may love one another. We are called to bear fruit, fruit that will last. And for the last number of weeks, we've been looking at what that means for us living in 2018 and how we interpret that. How we now know a whole lot from science about the universe, about how we are created, how the world is assembled, how the universe is assembled, and how some of the early understandings of ancient man in the year 2000, when the scripture was put together, the New Testament, how some of those perceptions and assumptions about life are not accurate given what we know today. And how we are called to have a proclamation of faith that is sustainable, will be a fruit that will last. A sustainable faith that not only we can wholeheartedly embrace, but also that we can share with other people who question, why should you have faith in God? And that we can pass on to our children so that in 100 years from now, others will be here sharing faith in God, a faith that they understand and can wholeheartedly embrace, given all the knowledge that we have today. Knowledge that was not known in the year 2000, year 0100 or whatever the date you want to put. We've been talking about the nature of heaven, that heaven is a place of the community of baptized people who are living on earth now, that we are to be in community practicing love to one another. A love that is, we're working for the common good. And that common good idea was also the idea that was held in our last century after the war, where everybody worked together for the common good. That was the Marshall Plan, that was the United Nations, that was the European Community, that was a whole lot of various coming together so that nobody was left behind. That's the common good. And that was a way of practicing love, taking the words of Jesus and putting them into effect. What I want to talk about today is, as I started reflecting after my, and before my brother died, he and I had a lot of conversation. We know that heaven is now, so what is eternal life? And I want to state clearly, I believe in eternal life. I believe in eternal life. But it's not in a place with pavement of gold on the streets and all the other images that we've had in the past. So to get to my understanding and to share it with you so that perhaps you can embrace it and help yourself and others embrace it as well when questions come up. God does not play favorites. God loves all of God's creation. And God has been giving life from the moment of the creation of the planet and the moment of the creation of the universe. And we know somewhat of the time frame. We know it was about 13.5 billion years ago that the creation began. That was the first word of God. And then we know that this planet started to sustain life about 3.5 billion years ago. And that life began in the sea as a single cell. And then it got more complex in a random way. And eventually life came onto the land. And up until about 65 million years ago, life had evolved in a reptilian way, the dinosaurs. Maybe some of you over time have got your children to eat cauliflower and asparagus and broccoli by saying they're dinosaur food and you're going to eat the dinosaurs. I don't know if you did that. But It works for a day or two. That's my experience. But the whole idea is that life gradually, randomly grew upon the earth, upon the planet. But always, 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 the planet wanted life. Life is never extinguished. It is changed because it is energy. It's changed in its form, but it moves forward gradually, gradually, and changes over time. I mean, you may know this, but I'll restate it. We are stardust. How would you like to know that we are stardust? And you can tell your grandkids, you know, the minister said in church today that we're all stardust, and we are. We, the carbon that makes us up and the carbon that's here on the earth that inhibits in the various plants that we eat and some of the animals, all comes from dust that's created by the collapse of a supernova, a dying star. And that carbon goes out into the atmosphere and comes to this planet and all the other planets. But so we are living stardust. Always life is always living. It can be changed, but it never dies. And I believe that each and every one of us has a uniqueness that makes us us. You are not like either one of your parents. You are not like, unless you're a twin perhaps, you're not like anybody else in your family. You are unique. My late brother and myself were different as chalk and cheese, even though we loved each other. But we were different, but we're both alive. We were unique. And I put that uniqueness down to a divine spark that comes to us at the point in time in which we are created by our parents' acts of love. And that when that child is formed in the womb, there's a uniqueness to that child. One, you know, not just one in a million, but unique. And that life, our life, is unique. And the energy that makes us us never dies. Now, I've had a near-death experience in my lifetime when I was actually the minister in Wanak. And I've had the experience of dying and seeing the white light and going down the channel that people have written about. And it's quite an awesome experience. But there was no death. We kept on going. And I came back here to bother you. But life never ends. And it's my belief that life goes on, that there is eternal life, but not in a form that we fully understand. There is a divine spark that joins the great creating spark of God in divinity. There is a divinity in each and every one of us. It's known as panentheism, that God resides in each of us. God is not away from us. God is within us and within all things on the planet Earth and within all things in the universe. And when our bodies die, the carbon that makes us up goes back to the ground. But the unique spirit goes on. And that's eternal life. And we remember the person in a unique way, in a loving way. And so I hope that that makes sense. That we can take this message of eternal love, eternal divine spark that resides in each and every one of us. So that when you look at your neighbor, even the neighbor across the fence who you don't particularly like, you have to say, in that person I see the face of God. If we could do more of that, we would not have war. We would not have all the issues that we're having today. We have to stop othering people and start to know that we are together as one people created by a loving God, created in love. And if we can accept that, we accept eternal life. And we accept that, we accept peace, reconciliation, and we have not denied the acts of Jesus. For Jesus came to teach us about God. Unfortunately, the church over time, because of not knowing, and also because of the culture in which it began, picked up a lot of the cultural ideas of its day and solidified it into dogma. And you'll see it in old creeds, you'll see it in lots of things, which they, as ancient people, were giving their best guess of what was going on. But today we live in a new time in which we know more. And 100 years from now, they will know more. And they will say, we need to reimagine what it means to have God who loves us, and that we love God, and that we love ourselves and love each other. But for right now in 2018, we have to imagine that God loves all of God's creation. If a Muslim person came to church this morning and came up and wanted to receive communion, I would give them communion. Because the communion does not belong to me. It does not belong to the Anglican Church. It's a sign of the love of God for all of God's creation. And so if that person felt that the Holy Spirit called them to come forward and receive, I would give them that. Because I'm not judge and I'm not God. And it would be blasphemy for me not to do it. Now, that doesn't mean I wouldn't get in trouble maybe later. I mean, I could accept that. But I'd make a very strong argument in my own defense of why I acted. We have to get beyond tribalism, and we have to start embracing each other. For we are the people of God on this planet Earth. And we're not doing a good job right now of embracing the one planet and keeping it healthy. So I pray today, as we receive the sacrament, the sign of God's love for all of God's creation, a sacrament to which we are all invited, that we remember that God loves us, and that we are called to love ourselves and called to go and love the world. May God bless us all as we journey and minister. Amen.